It's only natural. You're listening to Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O on News Talk WLOB. We're going to be talking about natural gas here for a few minutes. Please join me in welcoming Mike Duguay. He's the Director of Business Development at Summit Natural Gas of Maine. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you.
Have you ever been introduced with the song It's Only Natural?
I never have.
It could be your new theme song. You may want to take that. It's Rob Thomas.
It's probably fitting.
Perfect. Want to talk about the expansion of natural gas here in Maine. Locally, Falmouth, Yarmouth, and Cumberland have been, I think, the latest group of communities to get involved with the expansion. And I should say at the onset, as the chairman of the Yarmouth Town Council, I've been involved with these discussions over the last year. So I have both a degree of awareness, and also I wanted to make that disclosure because, you know, there are many people that see the value and the benefit of natural gas, both in terms of the economic value and benefit, and then there are some people that have environmental concerns. So I'd like to kind of talk about all those things. But before we get to that, take just a minute. Every time I have a guest in the studio, I like to just kind of get a reference from how folks ended up here in Maine. And in my notes, it show you grew up in Waterville, Maine?
I actually grew up right in Fairfield, Steve, next town over from Waterville.
Great.
So I'm a native in Maine. Have lived here all my life, essentially.
Perfect. And you went down to New Hampshire for a couple of minutes to go to school, shows here.
I was going to say that probably may be my only discretion.
Yeah, well, you know, it's good to get out a little bit and, you know, study political science and community development.
Exactly.
And before we get into, like, the actual natural gas, talk a little bit about You work for Summit Natural Gas.
That's correct.
And I think that there's everyone I've ever talked to about natural gas, there's a lot of misinformation or, I guess, non-information, because even the way the billing is done, there's distribution cost, and then there's the cost for the natural gas itself.
That's
and
right.
So why don't we kind of start at the very beginning of, you know, here in Maine— You know, where does our natural gas come from?
Sure.
How much of it comes from within the state? How much comes from Pennsylvania or Canada, that type of thing? And then let's talk a little bit about Summit Natural Gas as a company. And then we'll start, you know, if you pardon the pun, drilling down a little bit. And then talk about what it means for the consumer in terms of kind of pricing and conversion and that. But why don't we start with, you know, why is natural gas both available here in Maine, and why is it a good choice for many people, do you feel?
Sure. Yeah, I think, Steve, that this is very unique, because normally what you hear with other products or other projects is that Maine is on the other end of the line. Truthfully, actually, Maine is in the middle of two large natural gas deposits and supplies. Actually, the first one, which is to the north of us in Nova Scotia, Sable Islands, there's about five drilled fields up that location off the Sable Island shelf. That provides gas into the Maritimes and Northeast Pipeline that comes into Maine from Calais through the central part of the state and through the interstate and then down to Cumberland Fairgrounds, interestingly enough, in the heart of the Cumberland, Falmouth, and Yarmouth network.
And how long has his Maritimes, that deposit up in Nova Scotia, been there? Is it fairly recent, or is it a long-term project that's just finally getting down to southern Maine?
Yeah, actually, strangely enough, it's been around since 1996. I believe they actually did the project within 2 years, from 96 to 98. Many of our companies who also provide natural gas service in Maine have had a tap off of that since 1998. Obviously, Summit the most recent.
Right.
So it has been something that's been in the communities at least for a while. The issue, and we'll talk a little bit about it, Steve, is the distribution.
Okay.
Summit obviously is a distribution company, not necessarily just a transmission company. So the Maritimes Northeast is a transmission pipeline. That's where the source of gas is coming from and then going through the state to provide the opportunity for distribution.
Okay. So you mentioned there were two sources, one from
Correct.
The north being Nova Scotia and the second source for natural gas here, Maine?
Which is probably more notable to a lot of people, because I think where we are right now is a national phenomenon where there's so much more natural gas that's been provided in the region. That is coming up from, as you mentioned, Pennsylvania and New York. In the Marcellus Shale area. It's a large natural reservoir of natural gas, roughly in the Appalachian Basin Valley. And we now find ourselves between these two locations. We're essentially 400 or 500 miles away from some of the most productive and abundant supplies of natural gas in the North American area.
Wow. Have there been any findings or research in terms of natural gas in Maine, or does our geography and, you know, how natural gas is formed, is Maine just not a good fertile field for that? Or do you think maybe at some point, you know, we're close enough that natural gas will be viable here in Maine?
That's a fantastic question, because I had asked that as well. And what I found is actually there is a shale formation up in Aroostook County. I don't believe it's ever been actually drilled or tapped, but apparently that shelf is actually some in portion of that North Atlantic shelf that comes in from the Atlantic Ocean. So technically there may be the same formation where you do find natural gas right here in Maine.
Okay. So, by the way, we have Mike Duguay here. He's Director of Business Development for Summit Natural Gas. They're delivering natural gas a couple places around the state, most recently in Cumberland, Falmouth, and Yarmouth. They're in the middle of putting together infrastructure. I don't know if it's flowing yet or not. But you mentioned this, the transmission service. So there are these giant pipes.
Right.
One coming down from Nova Scotia, one coming up from Pennsylvania. And they're owned by a different company, and they basically, if you could clarify, are providing the commodity of natural gas, and then companies like Summit are tapping in and then providing the business service of delivering the residential and commercial natural gas to local communities?
That's exactly right. So there's companies like Spectra Energy who, in effect, operate and own Maritimes Northeast Pipeline. They, in effect, are taking it from the actual natural gas fields into their main transmission pipe. Companies like Summit, we then locate along those lines, Steve, and we tap into those larger transmission lines, and then we develop the actual distribution network that then brings that gas to individual businesses and residences. So that's basically what we call the local distribution company. An LDC, I guess, is essentially what people call that.
Right. So instead of thinking, you know, even though you're dealing with the actual natural gas, but you're dealing with it in kind of the last mile or the last few miles of the process, and you're not technically drilling for the natural gas or doing that front-end work, you're basically tapping into a large line and then bringing it into homes and businesses.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people relate this to more of the Central Maine Power model, if you will, now that we had deregulation, where in a sense they're a transmission and distribution company, more really on the distribution. We're very similar to that. We don't actually produce the gas. We don't drill for the gas. We don't process it. We're essentially moving those molecules on that mainline pipe, though, to the eventual customer, who actually is a Summit customer.
Yeah.
And so it's a very similar model on the transmission and distribution side, not unlike what people would be comfortable on the electricity side.
Before we start talking about the actual delivery here in the communities in southern Maine, can you talk a little bit, and I know you're the Director of Business Development, and you're not necessarily the scientist at Summit, so, but talk a little bit about, you know, the natural gas coming into the state from two different places.
Sure.
And how much natural gas is available now and is predicted to be available, because over the last 10 years, I think there have been wild projections on we're going to run out of oil in the next 5 years. There's not much natural gas. And this affects issues like sustainability and renewable energy and solar and wind. And there's research being done with tidal power. And so the issue of energy is a subject that's talked about constantly. And somewhere in the mix, it feels like natural gas over the last few years has kind of moved to the forefront, where new finds, new technology, new drilling techniques have all of a sudden discovered that we have more natural gas than we anticipated, and that it may be an effective bridge fuel going from other fossil fuels like oil, which is considered dirtier, and coal, in natural gas because I believe it burns
a lot cleaner,
a lot hotter, so there's less residual. But right. Where are we right now in terms of all that information relative to natural gas? And, you know, because if people are thinking about converting and they're looking at the oil market, they're looking at natural gas. If all of a sudden natural gas becomes as popular as oil, you know, supply and demand will you know, increase the price of natural gas. So talk a little bit from a higher level of how much natural gas is coming into Maine, how much expansion can we effectively have, and how stable of as an energy source do you think it is, both in terms of pricing and availability over the next 10 or 20 years?
I think people really need to think about this on a global perspective, Steve, because that's really where we are right now. You mentioned a couple of things that I think are really important for people to understand. I actually believe in a good mix of energy. I think you need to have all of them represented in some way. The hard part when people need to really understand this and give this some deep thought is that on the renewable as it relates to just solar and wind, the hard part in that regard or that area is that when you want electricity, when you're actually turning on your switch, you want it to be on when you hit that switch.
Right.
The hard part is you can't control wind or solar. Either the wind is blowing or the sun is shining. The hard part to go to a completely 100% renewable portfolio does a couple of things. One, it destabilizes the actual power grid because we would have no predictability of when you could have electricity or not. And until they really come up with a much advanced technology in regard to storage and battery technology, we're pretty much going to be based on having to control the spigot of what we have for fuel and availability. So I don't think fossil fuels are really ever going away. You need them to really have some stability in that power grid. The question is going to be, what's the percent? There are a lot of experts. I am not one of them. But there are experts who believe that over 20% of renewable on the grid starts to destabilize the predictability and the availability of electricity when you want it. And I believe that's true because you almost always see a natural gas-fired or powered electrical generation facility behind a new renewable that's brought online. Because although you have a renewable opportunity, the real issue is you don't have that stability on the grid. So from that perspective, I think fossil fuels are going to be part of our energy mix going forward for a long, long time. The other part of that, I think, too, is in regard to our availability and abundance, as you mentioned, of fuel. There are wild speculation. I think that's always the way it is out in the energy market. The reality, though, is the Marcellus Shale. They believe that it could supply at least the heat and power generation for approximately 100 years going forward. That's not necessarily taken into account pulling all our vehicles on the road and putting them with compressed natural gas. But it certainly could also power quite a few of those fleets, including our own personal vehicles. The other part, too, is they're looking at another shale formation called the Haynesville Shale down in Arkansas, Kentucky, and Tennessee. They don't believe it's as significant as that is in Marcellus, but it certainly does have a significant opportunity as well. So we're kind of in an interesting position right now, I think, Steve, is that we find ourselves between two locations. For the first time in a long time where energy is becoming that much more available to Maine. And I think in the past, Maine had been at the other end of the line. Now we're in the middle between two abundant supplies.
Okay, we've got Mike Duguay, is the Director of Business Development, Summit Natural Gas. I mean, there are counter arguments in terms of any fossil fuel. You mentioned a few minutes ago, you don't know if we will ever be off fossil fuel. I look at it as a finite resource. I think that I don't know if we have 30 years left. I don't know if we have 300 years left. But at some point, the Earth is hurtling through space at 30,000-something miles per hour. And inside the Earth is like our gas tank. And whether it's coal, oil, natural gas, we only have so much fuel inside, you know, and new technology will come up, and maybe there'll be some sort of research with hydrogen, or there'll be some other kind of atomic element that scientists years from now figure out. But at some point, it feels like the gas tank in the Earth may run out, and we'll see how long that goes. Talk a little bit. Talk about one of the knocks on natural gas. And, you know, every once in a while you'll turn on television and go to Discovery Channel or you go to CNBC or a 60 Minute story, and it'll show some homeowner, you know, turning on their kitchen sink and water coming out and lighting a match and saying, you know, look what's happening. And I think, I don't know if it's the industry term or a colloquial term, but fracking is the mechanical method to fracture the rock at a certain level inside the earth that allows chemicals to be injected in, and which allows natural gas to be released and then captured and then put in a pipe. How is the natural gas, if you know, in terms of up in Marcellus or down in Pennsylvania, is fracking part of that? And for people in Maine that may have some concern that that type of mining or drilling for natural gas will impact them here in Maine?
Yeah, I think, Steve, every energy source has its issues, both pros and cons. Hydraulic fracturing is, in fact, the technology that's used to fracture the shale in the pocket, if you will, that releases more of the gas through the pores of the actual rock formation. It's an old technology. People don't realize it's been around since 1948. It was invented and actually used in the oil industry, petroleum, the liquids industry. Interestingly enough, it's actually used as much in the petroleum industry now as it is in natural gas. And the reason for that is that they're going back and looking at old pockets of petroleum fuel areas and using that technology as well. So what's really hard to differentiate is all of our energy sources that we use, whether one is coming from hydraulic fracturing or not. Oil is as well now. So most of that resource that we're bringing into our homes, it's very difficult nowadays to differentiate whether it was fracked or not. But it is true. That is the technology. It's being used by both the petroleum industry and oil, as it is in natural gas.
Okay. Talk a little bit about, first of all, anyone interested in more information, the website is www.summitnaturalgasmaine.com. They also have a Twitter of at Summit Maine, M-A-I-N-E, for more information. So I became familiar with Summit about a year ago when Yarmouth, Cumberland, and Falmouth opened up discussions with you and another group and kind of had an RFP process. And you guys made a presentation saying that Summit might be interested in serving the residents and commercial businesses in the three communities. We came to kind of an understanding. And because it's a public utility, it didn't require a contract with the towns, but it did require some understanding relative to public works stuff and municipal buildings being communities being open to have those converted. Talk a little bit about what the plan is for anyone listening that may be in Falmouth, Cumberland, and Yarmouth. And I know online you have a map showing what phases. But if you can kind of give an overview of, you know, what areas in phase one, is that coming this summer, this fall? What phases, in, you know, what areas? And talk a little bit about how long you think it'll take to roll out to most of the businesses and residences in the three towns.
Sure. I think people need to realize that if they're residents of those three communities, how unique an opportunity this was. What they really should do is really thank their elected officials as well as the people who work for them. And kudos to yourself, Steve, because I think this is rare. You had three communities who took really the opportunity in their own hands and said, look, if we are going to have a more affordable fuel for our residents and for our businesses to keep them competitive and also to lower their costs, what we need to do is reach out, which, in fact, those three communities had done. And I think it's just like any other private business. You want to go where you're wanted. You want to stay where you're appreciated. And I give a lot of credit, if not all of that, to the communities because they saw that early. They saw what we were doing up in the Kennebec Valley. They also knew that we were a little bit different than the other gas companies. I mean, there are other gas companies here in Maine. You know, clearly Cumberland, Falmouth, and Yarmouth is situated in a location which makes it favorable for service. As I mentioned earlier in my remarks, the Maritimes Northeast pipeline goes right through that area on the west side.
Actually, I was at a press event. I think it was on May 2nd. You were there other town officials. And it actually, the main line goes through the Cumberland Fairgrounds, right?
It does. It's right on the property.
So the press event where there was a groundbreaking, so that's where, you know, how big, you know, this is kind of a trivial question, but how big is the line itself that is the main line coming down from Nova Scotia? Is it 1 foot, 2 feet? Is it giant? And how much natural gas is flowing down? And that becomes, I forget the name of it. What's the name of it? Wait, where you tee off of that, and then that becomes the substation for the three communities.
Yep, that's actually a regulator station. And actually, it's not trivial at all, Steve. This is the stuff I really like about the business. It's a 24-inch in diameter line.
Right.
Believe it or not, that is a large line in comparison to what we would have for infrastructure in the street. And I really want to make sure people understand
that. So that's considered high
that.
Pressure, right? So
it is a high pressure line.
So the
line.
Big line is high pressure, and then you put in a regulating station, which takes it down to lower pressure
that's
and
right.
smaller lines, right?
So I think what people need to understand is that the high pressure line that goes through the back country is not the same that goes through their street and in front of their homes. And that's really an important distinction, because we will actually bring the gas down to a quarter of a pound, so 0.25 PSI at their actual meter. So it's a very low pressure fuel once it actually gets to the side of the home. And I think that's a distinction that most people just never knew,
right?
Because natural gas is not necessarily in all our communities. So it's an interesting infrastructure. It really is a linear infrastructure. You have to go from point A to point B. We do that in regard to what's called a regulator station. It steps down that pressure for distribution. And actually, Steve, what's in the ground here in Cumberland, Falmouth, and Yarmouth, the physical makeup of that material is very different. So the larger line that Maritimes Northeast operates is a steel line. All of our infrastructure in the three communities is a plastic. It's called a high-density polyethylene, HDPE.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very resistant to frost, to water, and to the elements. It's been tested up in conditions of over 100 years without failure.
But it does break, and you know, this isn't something having to do with Summit Natural Gas, but water lines break, sewer lines break. We live in a climate where there's frost heaves because of melting and freezing. So in a residential area, you know, on Main Street, whether it's Cumberland, Falmouth, or Yarmouth, or up in Kennebunk, if the earth moves and if one of those lines shear, what's the mechanism for the gas flow to stop and so it doesn't turn into something disastrous?
Sure. Actually, interestingly enough, the HDPE is a very, very different form of material than what we've had in the past. If you think about plastic, what they actually do when they dig into the ground, because plastic is malleable, they also build in a little bit of slack in that line, so it does have the ability to shift with the frost. The other part about it is because it is plastic and there's also fuel or molecules going through it, it maintains enough flow through the pipe that it's actually not freezing along with the ground. And I think people find that unusual.
Right.
But it is a shallow infrastructure. It is only 3 feet in the ground, and people would believe that it would actually freeze. But because of those properties of the plastic along with fuel or molecules going through, it doesn't freeze at the level of what a cast iron would freeze. And that's more of the lines that you've seen in other areas that have had problems. They're steel. They get gripped by the frost, and the frost wants to basically pull those lines apart. It's a very different composition than that of the plastic lines that we're putting in.
But at some point, it may break. Sometimes somebody may be doing sewer work
that's
or
correct.
Construction work, a backhoe.
That's correct.
And because it's low pressure, there's not as much gas going through. But what are the safety mechanisms to make sure that if something like that happens, that you know it is not as disastrous as
sure.
some people may think?
So there's actually three different safety mechanisms. The first ones are automatic shutoff valves. It actually senses through a valve in the street when there's a pressure spike or a pressure drop. So that's really the first line of defense. The second one, and I think people find this probably a little comical, but quite frankly, it may be the best defense. The gas actually, as far as natural gas, it is odorless and it's colorless. So we actually inject a smell agent, an odorant, if you will, called mercaptan. And that allows that gas to smell like a sulfur or a rotten egg smell, not mm-hmm. unlike propane. So believe it or not, the human nose will actually detect a leak a lot quicker, perhaps, than a lot of other mechanisms. That third one, in effect, is as well to the home, is there's also a shutoff at the meter. So you have three elements of that sort of shutoff and ability to turn the gas off.
Interesting. We were talking a little bit about the kind of the phasing approach for Cumberland, Falmouth, and Yarmouth. If you could continue that. By the way, we have Mike Duguay. He's Director of Business Development, Summit Natural Gas of Maine. Their website is www.summitnaturalgasmaine.com. You're listening to Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O on News Talk WLOB, 1310 AM. Where can people go for, I mentioned your website, but with so many oil burners out there, if you have a propane system, it's easier to convert because you just convert the nozzle, I think,
that's
some
exactly
adjustments.
Right.
But for people that are thinking, well, they've got an oil furnace, and do they replace their oil furnace? Do they hold off for natural gas? Talk a little bit about the conversion, and then we'll wrap up.
Sure. Actually, one of the benefits of the Summit program is that we're providing up to $1,500 for people to buy new equipment. We realize that it's a cost for them to go from an existing system that they have, albeit they're using more fuel and it's more costly. But we also understand the opportunity to try to help people get into natural gas. And as a result of that, Steve, we have an incentive for people who have a water boiler to go, and we'll help them up to $1,500 to make that change out. They can get that information on our website, which you had mentioned, which is summitnaturalgasmaine.com, or also go to Efficiency Maine. Efficiency Maine runs concurrent programs with Summit. They actually work with us to do our rebates, but they also have information on our programs as well on that website. So there's other incentives as well, as you mentioned, as a burner replacement. If you just simply had a newer furnace or boiler in the last few years, chances are you might have an opportunity to just change out the front end or the actual burner itself. We'll help up to $375 for that replacement as well. And there's essentially an array of other benefits. We also provide up to 6 hours of air sealing to help get your envelope of your home more tight, so you're using less fuel, and of what you're using with natural gas, it's more affordable. So we're trying to lower your consumption as well as lower your cost. So we have that program along with an energy audit. We provide up to $560 for the combined air sealing and energy audit. That qualifies people for Efficiency Maine financing. And if they want to go that route, they, through Efficiency Maine, provides 4.99% financing.
Fantastic. Well, as I said at the onset, I am somewhat connected to the process as the chairman of the Yarmouth Town Council. Myself and other councilors and town staff from both Yarmouth, Falmouth, and Cumberland have spent the last year meeting with you folks, kind of investigating both the benefits and the issues relative to natural gas in the three communities. All three communities support it, and I think it's positive giving people the option. I think it's positive in terms of a step forward. I'd like to see zero emissions in terms of CO2. So maybe on a future show, we'll talk about climate change and we'll have that conversation. But I think that and there's also an economic development benefit, because for businesses in these three towns, if they can lower their costs, they can be more competitive, and it helps their businesses.
Absolutely.
So I would love to have you come back sometime. Mike, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
You bet. We've had Mike Duguay, Director of Business Development, Summit Natural Gas of Maine. Their website, again, summitnaturalgasmaine.com. You're listening to Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O, News Talk, WLOB, 1310 AM. Thank you for listening.